We're going to turn to our Bibles now to the Song of Solomon, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and we will read from verse 1 down to verse 10. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have they not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher calling all Canadians back to the Bible. Because how else will you come to understand the gospel? Throughout the history of God's church, Old Testament and New, sinners have been saved through the revelation of God's word, when prophets and preachers delivered the word of God to the people. God's word is now given to us in the Bible. Through the Bible, we come to know God's way of saving sinners. That's what the gospel is. It is sometimes called God's good news, and it behooves us to pay attention to the message. We are therefore called to careful examination of the book of God. We must learn to understand the language of the Bible and the great gospel terms contained within it. Like any other field of learning, the Bible has a definite language with terms that have their own historical and specialized meaning. Atonement, justification, remission, redemption, faith, and repentance. These are not the common terms used in the street in any city of the world. These are terms that need to be discovered, defined, and given meaning. That is very much what the preacher does every time he preaches from the Bible. We call it Bible study, Bible exposition, and Bible preaching. The preacher is not to dole out his own opinions, but he is called to teach the very words of God in God's book. The great stories of the Bible are life history by which God has revealed himself to men and by which we learn of God's way of saving souls. How then would you ever come to know the gospel message without the textbook of Christianity? You wouldn't try to do that in history class or in a math class. To truly learn about God's good news of salvation to sinners, it is absolutely necessary that you get a Bible and read it thoroughly. As you read his word, God will speak to you. God has said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is founded on the bedrock of God's word. Faith is based on facts, and you must know the facts before you will know what to do to be saved from sin and hell. How else will you know the state of your soul and your standing before God? And how else will God reveal to you His plan of mercy and the meaning of Jesus' death on the cross? How will you put it all together without the very book God has given to communicate His saving grace to sinners? To trust your own ideas and your own reasoning is to act the fool. So, read the Bible. Again, I say, read the Bible. Until you do, you are in the dark. You are a student with no textbook. There is no material for you to work on. You have no facts on which to determine anything. But when you meet the Son of God within the pages of the Bible and learn of His person as the Son of God and of His power to do miracles, and then learn of His death on the cross as a substitute for sinners, then you know, and then you are in a position to answer the call to believe. And of course you want a biblical faith, because on the very written words and sure promises of God, your faith must be based. You do not want to adhere to some second-hand oral tradition that you think has, because so-and-so heard it from his father, and he heard it from his father for so many generations. No, no, that will never do. But when you go to God's book and put your finger on the very words stated by the Son of God, then you have found the true riches of divine truth that you can take to the bank of heaven to plead for salvation. So, get a Bible and read it. And I challenge you to read the Bible for a month. Begin at John's Gospel. That will give you the narrative, the whole story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And then read the book of Romans. There you will get the explanation of why Jesus had to suffer, bleed, and die, of what he accomplished and settled before God, and how that gospel is applied to you. Read the Bible. That's the beginning of the true way of God's salvation coming into your life. May you do that today, and may God in His grace open His word to you.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Burn those who bind, deceive or sword. Would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all He has done. Come, Holy Ghost, come, Lord our God, and shed Thy heavenly gifts abroad on us and on to every heart. Through faith and fervent love impart. Lord Jesus Christ, Your power make known, for You are Lord of lords alone. Defend Your holy church that we may sing Your praise triumphant. Through faith and
listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we are moving now to our message today in the book of Song of Solomon, something a little different. Song of Solomon is a beautiful picture of the church and her bridegroom. The Lord Jesus is the lover of our souls. There are some who do not see the church represented in the book of Song of Solomon. They see it merely on the human level as the love between husband and wife. But God has ordained that the church is represented as the bride, and the Lord Jesus himself is our groom. And so we're turning to this opening chapter in Song of Solomon. I hope that you will have your Bible ready. Join with us as we let the Bible speak. Song of Solomon, chapter 1.
Word. Please stand with me as we unite in prayer and seek the Lord's face together. Father, we thank thee for the love of Jesus, the love of the Savior for our souls. How can we ever take it in? How can we understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Oh, we thank thee today for our Savior. Help us to have fresh views of the Lord Jesus and his love for us. We pray that you will breathe by your Spirit into our hearts. Take away the dryness and the deadness of our souls, and give us a lively faith to receive thy word with joy. We ask that you will prepare our hearts as we come to the communion feast. Lord, we confess we need the cleansing of Jesus' precious blood. We confess that we are but sinners from head to toe. We confess, Lord, that we are worms and we are unworthy, but we do thank thee today for the love of Jesus and the saving power and the wonderful, wonderful grace and the justifying power of the blood of Calvary. Oh Lord, teach us these things today and help us. Help in the pulpit, help in the pew, minister to us, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Today we come to verses 6 and 7 in Song of Solomon chapter 1. Verses 6 and 7, these are the words of the bride. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Love stories are always of great interest. But of course, the greatest love story of all is the love of the Lord, who came all the way into this world, first to the manger. What humiliation! What could motivate the Savior to take the form of a little infant and born into a filthy cattle shed, and then to live in Nazareth in obscurity, in humility, and then to go to the cross to die as a sacrifice for sin? Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. The book of Solomon is really a wonderful example of the passionate love that the Lord Jesus has for his church. This book was greatly loved by a preacher in Scotland called Robert Murray McShane. And although he only had a 7-year ministry, because he died while he was yet 29 years old, in his 30th year, he preached through all of this book, Song of Solomon. He saw revival in his church, and he saw the power of God as men and women grasped much of Jesus' love for sinners. I pray that my ministry might even be a little percentage of what God did in that church in Dundee in Scotland. I want you to truly and deeply be in love with the Lord Jesus. I don't want you merely to take the cup and the bread today in a mechanical fashion and say, well, I just do it. No, I want it to be the burning heart. I want it to be the love of your soul. And I want it to be the genuine expression of your faith in the wonder of Jesus' love for your own soul. This book of Song of Solomon is very valuable as we would prepare our hearts to take this communion. You will learn here that there is the confession of the bride, I am black. And as we come to communion, there is an element of confession that is required, because there is none of us worthy, none of us without sin, none of us that have not failed. And yet, what are we doing here? And yet the other part to the story is a profession of wonder of God's love for our souls. I am black, but comely. Now that seems an opposite. It seems a paradox, and it is. But your Christian life is a paradox. Because yes, there is sin in your heart, but you are in God's sight comely, beautiful, accepted because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. This Song of Solomon, therefore, is a tremendous expression of the power of the gospel to make us acceptable unto God. Now, in verse 5 and 6, we're going to firstly look at the church's confession. I am black, but comely. Black, well, that is her personal estimation. Comely, that is the Lord's estimation. There is a deep sense of unworthiness, if not ugliness, in the view of the bride. She feels black, and yet in the sight of her beloved, she is beautiful. How can she be both? And yet this, as I say, is the paradox of every Christian's testimony. We look at ourselves. What do we see? We see black. We see faults. We see our sins. We look in and we get depressed. What kind of a creature am I? I have been living this life now as a Christian, perhaps for a long time. I was born into a Christian home. I have learned so much of the wonderful things of God, but yet I look into my heart and what do I see? I am black. Now this Shulamite bride, she uses two descriptions to describe the blackness that she senses. She refers here to the tents of Kedar as the curtains of Solomon. These Kedar or Kedarites, they were the descendants of Esau. They were a nomadic people. They lived in tents, and their tents were covered in black skins. And she is referring to these nomadic people with their tents that were erected from place to place, and outwardly, ugly. Outwardly, there is nothing attractive. And then the curtains of Solomon, they were used in the temple to blacken out the light so that no light came in from the outside, that the light of the candlestick alone would shine. And so there is a deep display and despondency of her own blackness of heart. Now, when you boil it all down, this really is the struggle of every believer in the Lord Jesus, even the one that is a Christian, a true Christian. I'm speaking to some who are saved a long time, saved genuinely, and have a testimony for God. But yet the sensitive Christian will look at themselves And what do they see? They see black. And so there is this confession of an inward despising. Now, that's not a mark of being unconverted. That is a mark of true conversion. That is a mark of grace. Because to confess, to look at yourself and you see your sin, the ungodly don't see that. The carnal-minded don't think that way, but the godly Christian does. Because in our conversion, our eyes were opened to the lost condition of our own souls. And every child of God will confess of that struggle, of a sense, a feeling of personal unworthiness. And it may be so deep and dark at times that you might say, well, I shouldn't pray. I shouldn't even go to church to sing, if they did sing. I, therefore, should not participate at the communion table, because as I look at myself, I only see black. And if that was the end of the story, it would be a very dark experience. But note the paradox. I am black, but comely, beautiful. And that is the amazing testimony of the child of God. How can this be? It's the difference that the gospel makes. I am black, but the blood of Jesus makes me white. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus makes me accepted into God. My goodness, my acceptance is not based upon me, never me. All my righteousness is borrowed. And that was the emphasis of the preaching of Robert Murray McShane, that young pastor in Dundee. He preached the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When did you last do a study or hear a full sermon on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus? It's strange language to people. It's sometimes beyond people's grasp. What does it mean? It means that Jesus lived an obedient life. He lived the right way. He did the right things, and all his rightness or righteousness, all the accrued merits that he earned, that righteousness is transferred from Jesus to your account. And so as you look at yourself alone, you're black. But as you look at yourself as a Christian, united to the Lord Jesus, with his righteousness to your account, you are comely, beautiful, accepted. And you'll find that this is the theme right through the epistles of the New Testament, where Paul says that we are accepted in the Beloved. That's the Christian's testimony. And so while I look at myself, I shouldn't take this communion at all. I'm not worthy. I'm a failure. I have stumbled. I have sinned. I have wronged my Lord. I shouldn't even be here in this communion service if I just look at myself. But as I confess that blackness, as I confess that ugliness of my own character and my own person in the sight of God, I flee by faith. I take the righteous life of the Lord Jesus, and I receive to my account, and I boast only in the clothing, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus to make me white, pure and holy by looking unto Jesus. I've said in this pulpit a number of times over the years that for every look at self, take 10 looks to Christ. That's Robert Murray McShane, by the way. For every time that you look at yourself and you see the blackness of your own sin, take 10 looks at the Lord Jesus. That's the focus of the Christian. Do we not say that we are to look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith? Are we not told that he is the end of the law for righteousness? That's where condemnation stops. The law condemns, the law sees the blackness, but Christ is the end of the law. He brings the law to silence, that it does not speak anymore to accuse, but the righteousness of Jesus now takes over and we are right with God.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. What a wonderful thing to be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. That is not the theme of modern day preaching, I'm afraid, but it is the gospel. It is this wonderful picture of the bride of the Lord Jesus dressed in the beauty of her Redeemer, the bridegroom. And just as when a woman marries a man, she takes his name, she comes under his headship, everything that he is, she enjoys. And you, when you become a Christian, enjoy all the riches, all the fullness, and of course, all the love of the Lord Jesus. Now, you should bow the knee and call upon the Lord to be your Savior. And if I can be of any help to you in your search to know the Lord, I'm here for you. Just give me a call, send me an email. You'll get all the details right coming up now at the close of this program. Thank you for joining with us today as we have Let the Bible Speak. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, call me free of charge from anywhere in Canada at 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.